We're starting here at the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom by the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, Kama Sudot Chayav Adam Lechol B'Shabbat. How many meals must a person consume over Shabbat? Shalosh. Rav Chidka Amar Arba. Chidka says that you have to eat four. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. They both learned it from the same pasuk, which is Vayom Moshe Ichlu Ayom Ki Shabbat Ayom Lashem Hayom Lom Timtzehu B'Sadeh. So the word hayom appears three times in the pasuk. Rabbi Chidka savar hani tlata hayom kvar miurta. Three times that you eat a meal during the day, excluding the nighttime meal. But it's every behadei deurta. Hayom means the day in the broader sense of day, not daytime, but the whole day, the 24 hours. And that's the three meals that we have for Shabbat. It's none. Naflad bleika b'leili Shabbat, our Mishnah, that you have a fire on Friday night. Matzilin gimel sudot. He saved three meals. My love, the lachal. That's the situation that he hasn't eaten yet. And therefore, three meals would support the position of the chachamim. Lo, dachal. He already ate a meal, and therefore could also support the position of Rabbi Chidka that you're saving three meals besides the nighttime meal. Shacharit, matzilin, mazon, shtei seudot. In the morning, you save two seudot. My love, the lachal. He hasn't eaten yet in the morning. And therefore, again, it would support the position of the chachamim. Lo, dachal, that he did eat the meal, and therefore could even be like Rabbi Chidka. B'mercha matzilin mazon suda achat. In the afternoon, you save one suda. My love, delo achal. Again, case where he hasn't eaten yet, and therefore would be the final meal, the third meal. Lo, dachal, even though he had eaten a meal already, that's his fourth meal, and that could even support the position of Rabbi Chidka. V'ha, migditani seifa. The latter half of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, lola matzilin mazon gimel sudot. That you always save three sudot. Michlau, de tanagama, gimel, svirilei. The Rabbi Yossi is not coming to argue on the number, because there's no discussion about the number of sudot. The only question between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama is that the Tanakhama says you can only save the remaining meals, the meals that you haven't eaten yet. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says you can always save three sudot. What they're not arguing about is the number of sudot that you eat. Michlau, de tanagama, gimel, svirilei. From that, it sounds like the Tanakhama thinks you only have to eat three meals. It's clear our Mishnah does not follow the position of Rabbi Chidka, but rather the position of the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, that we saw, who believe on Shabbat that you have three meals. There is one important factor that comes out of this. Tosafot already mentions it over here, brought up by the Rambam as well, which is Mikan Mashma, the Zman Achila Shlishit Shabbat. What time should you eat Sudah Shlishit on Shabbat? He min a mincha olamalo, that is in the afternoon. The lo ge utam shokolkim sudat shacharit umivarchim bentayim. Not like those that break up their morning meal into two and they bench in between to make it that they have three meals in Shabbat. They stop in the middle of their meal, they bench, and then they wash again and start again. Now there are a number of problems with that, including what Tosafot raises here of a problem of bracha she'ena tzricha. It's a problem that we face when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat and you need to eat all your meals in the morning. This is exactly the issue that comes up in terms of Sudah Shlishit. Here, Tosfot says that the most appropriate time to eat Shudas or Sudah Shlishit is in the afternoon. That's the way it's phrased here. In the Rambam, it's more explicit in his Seder Ayom for Shabbat that one must first daven mincha, and then only after davening mincha does one eat Sudah Shlishit. The Ramah brings down both opinions in terms of when you can eat Sudah Shlishit, but it seems like the most appropriate time to eat Sudah Shlishit is, first of all, in the afternoon, for sure, Zman HaMincha, and more appropriate even after Tfilat HaMincha, that one should daven Mincha first, and then have Sudah Shlishit. Obviously, if there are mitigating factors and there are the reasons, then there are opportunities where you could eat it before Mincha, if that's the only time that you can eat it. But preferable is to eat it in the afternoon, and again after mincha time. Based on our Mishnah here, which Tosafot points out, that Mishnah seems to indicate that the time for the third meal is in the mincha, in the afternoon time. So that's one issue with regards to Sudah Shlishit. The other thing is, why do people call it Shalosh Sudot? Why do they call it Shalosh Sudas? Why isn't it just called Sudah Shlishit, the third meal? Because on a regular weekday, a person would eat two meals. Sudah Shlishit, the third meal that one has on Shabbat, is Mareh. It shows that the other meals that a person ate on Shabbat weren't just regular weekday meals, but they were meals the Kavod HaShabbat. So in a sense, incorporated in the third meal that you eat in Shabbat is all three meals. Because it gives meaning or reflects back on the other two meals that you ate on Shabbat. And that's why the expression Shalosh Shudas came about, meaning that it's all three meals. Because it's Mareh Makom on the other two meals that they were done in the Kvod HaShabbat. Now in terms of Sudah Shlishit itself, what one is required to eat at Suda Shlishit. We already started a little bit with it yesterday, but you have Ktzei al Ktzei in terms of what you have to eat at Suda Shlishit. You have the Rambam, who says that you have to have Suda Shlishit al Yayin, like you do by the meal in the morning. It has to be done with Yayin Bori Pri al Gofen, and you eat Suda Shlishit. On the other hand, most other Rishonim and Poskim believe that you do not have to have it al Yayin. Now, what the Rambam is saying is not that there's a Kiddush, just like the morning, it's not Kiddush. The purpose of the Yayin is to designate it as a special meal. It gives significance to the meal beyond just being a meal. It gives it a framework. And that's what the Bori Pri al Gofen, or the wine, is. And that's what the Rambam says. You need wine for a Suda Shlishit. After that, we have the opinions which we saw yesterday, which by Suda Shlishit you require Lechem Mishneh. Now we saw yesterday in the Machloket between the Poskim, some who believe that Budrama quotes a Rosh, that says that you have to have every meal on Shabbat, you have to have Lechem Mishneh, versus others, like maybe Mishita Drashi, and others who believe by the time you get to Suda Shlishit, the Kobol quotes it in the name of the Midrash, you only need to have one Lechem by that time, based on the fact that if you started out on Friday morning with four Kikarot, based on the month that you got, you'd only have one left by the time you got to Suda Shlishit, and therefore it would not require Lechem Mishneh, yet, even according to those opinions, you still require Lechem for Suda Shlishit. Beyond that, you have other Rishonim who start to bring that may not even require Lechem for Suda Shlishit. Mizonot might be enough. Until you get to the point that some say that you only need Minei Targima, that you only need Perot or fruits. So you have Miktzei Aksei with terms of Suda Shlishit, from having it Alayayin with Lechem Mishneh, all the way down to having it just with Perot being enough for Suda Shlishit. Again, the Loch has brought down that the best way to do it is with Lechem Mishneh. If you don't, to do it ala Lechem, at least the Kikar Shalem, or if not, ala Lechem Prusa. If you don't do that, then Mizonot. If you don't do that, then Minei Targima. In that there is a hierarchy of preference to what you do in terms of Suda Shlishit. The big difference will be that if one washes for Suda Shlishit and has Lechem at the meal, one can extend the meal beyond Shkia. You can continue eating past Shkia if you started the meal on Shabbat. Continue the meal because it's part and parcel of the meal. It gives it a framework, the Lechem makes it into a Suda Kvua, and that's fine. On the other hand, if you don't wash and you don't have Lechem for a Suda Shlishit, then you would still be cut off by Shkia. If you're drinking or just having Minei Perot, you can't go over Shkia because you don't have a Kviyat Suda, which will allow you to go through that threshold of Shkia. You would have to stop at Shkia. There are many of the poskim who bring down the dispensation to start Suda Shlishit even after Shkia in the period of time that is known as Ben HaShmashot. In Chutz La'aretz, it's a lot easier to call Ben HaShmashot. A lot of the poskim will allow up to 13 and a half minutes, basically the Ben HaShmashot of the Gra. In Eretz Yisrael, many of the poskim are much more reluctant because they think the Ben HaShmashot is much shorter based on the fact that people are ending Shabbat at much earlier time. Then it would be hard to argue that the Ben HaShmashot is so extensive. Therefore, they only give a minute or two after Shkia to start Suda Shlishit, and that is an extensive amount of time. All right, that's with regards to Suda Shlishit. Obviously, it only applies to Shabbat. Does not apply to Yom Tov, as opposed to Lechem Mishneh, where there's a question amongst the poskim, whether it also applies to Yom Tov. Here, by Suda Shlishit, that only applies to Shabbat and does not apply to Yom Tov. Adnan, Mishi Yeshlo Mazon Shtei Sudot, Lo Yitol Minatum Choy. Someone who has sufficient amount of food for two Sudot, he should not take from the Tamchoy. Mazon Arbasre, if he has 14 Sudot, Lo Yitol Minakupa. He shouldn't take from the Kupa. Now, the Tamchoy was basically a big platter that the Gabayim used to go around, and people would donate food to it. It was literally baked food, cooked food, a portion of the food that they had made, they would put onto the platter. Now, most needy people took from the Tamchoy, which was, it's ready right away, the food is there, they collected each day, and they distributed it each day. It was for people who were passing through the city, who didn't have food. It was for the most destitute of the city, who had nothing to eat and didn't get from the kupa. Those people ate from the Tamchoy. Just a little note there that the way the Tamchoy was collected, they went around to people's houses, and they collected the food from them, and despite the fact that it did not have a badatz on it, that they still gave it out to other people. On the other hand, there's the kupa. The kupa is the city's normal tzedakah organization, which gave out on a weekly basis, equivalent of Tomchei Shabbat, that gives out a weekly package of food. The weekly package of food included 14 Seudot. The other thing to note here is that Rashi also notes with regards with the Kupa versus the Tamchoy is that sometimes the Kupa was used for Nei Tovim, the Silbahu Milto B'Tamchoy. It's used for people who had come from families of higher stature, or that were socioeconomic on the higher rung, and they had fallen on hard times, or whatever had happened to them, and they were embarrassed to take from the tamkui, and therefore the kupa was something where they got a distribution on a weekly basis, and they didn't have to come to the tamkui, where the more destitute came. So that's Rashi notes that in terms of a certain sociological reason for the difference between the kupa and the tamkui, which is interesting in general. What the Gemara is noting over here is that the tamkui gives you 2 su'udot, and the kupa gives you 14 su'udot. If you distribute those su'udot over the week, you're going to have a problem. 14 su'udot only gives you 2 su'udot per day. So then the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of this position? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Chidka. If you have 2 meals a day, then you haven't gotten 3 on Shabbat, you haven't gotten 4 on Shabbat. It's not like the Rabbanan, it's not like Rabbi Chidka. How are you providing this? E Rabbanan chamashreich avyan. If the Rabbanan, you need at least 15 meals. E Rabbi Chidka shitzarei avyan. Rabbi Chidka, you need at least 16 meals. When it says, Olam Rabbanan. It's the Rabbanan. Darmelei, my debay the mechel bafuke shabto, achle bishabto. What they say is, instead of eating malava malka on Motzei Shabbat, in the normal meals we're eating in the morning and then one in the evening. So on Shabbat, instead of eating your meal Motzei Shabbat, after Shabbat leaves, eat it on Shabbat itself, and then you'll have Shalosh Seudot on Shabbat itself. Leira Rabbanan, hevelo Rabbi Chidka. So if that's the case, let's say that that Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanan and not by Rabbi Chidka. Where it says, no, afilu teima Rabbi Chidka. It can even be Rabbi Chidka. That which you're going to eat on Erev Shabbat, eat at night. So where it says, wait a minute, if you're going to make him eat whatever he was going to eat on Friday, you're going to make him eat it at night. That means that you're going to eat the 2 meals that were designated for Friday on Friday night. You're going to force him to fast the entire Friday? Because now he's going to take his 2 meals for Shabbat, he's going to eat on Shabbat itself. The 2 meals for Friday, he's going to eat on Friday night. That means the whole day Friday has nothing to eat. This mission is authored by Rabbi Akiva. Better to make your Shabbat like a weekday and not need the briot, not need to take from others. In terms of Rabbi Akiva, so that is generally it's said in the position of people do have their own money and ability to pay for food. He says that you should be skimpier on your Shabbat meals rather than take from tzedakah in order to enhance your meals of Shabbat. But here too, in this same context, it's understood in the same way, which is better to just have 2 meals on Shabbat, or according to the Chachamim, maybe you can get up to 3 meals by shifting around one of the meals to do that, rather than borrow or take more from kupa, more from tzedakah. Better to treat Shabbat like a regular weekday than increase your needs from the tzedakah. Vatznan, don't we have a Mishnah, which is Ein pochatim la'ani ha'over mimakom la'komom. When a man is traveling from place to place, we don't give him less than mikikar bepundion medalid sa'im b'selo. You give him a kikar worth a pundion. Pundion is 1/48 of a selo. And we give him medalid sa'im b'selo. And that is when 4 sa'ah sell for a selah. When 4 sa'ah for a sell for a selah, and that's the market price of flour, then we give him 1 pundion's worth. I mean, 1/48, or if you take it, it's 4 sa'ah b'selah at 1/48 of a selah, that means he's getting 1/12 of this amount. That's the amount you give him for a kikar. Now that kikar is sufficient for 2 meals. Lan, notino, parnasat lina. If he stays overnight, then we give him hotel fees. We give him a motel room. We give him somewhere to sleep. Vim Shabbat. And if it's on Shabbat, no, then lo, mazon gimel su'udot. Then we give him 3 meals. Rashi mentions that even though the Gemara in tomorrow's daf is going to say that it's important to have a malava malka, but that's only if a person has the ability to do it. Malava malka is not an obligation like the shalosh su'udot on Shabbat. So you have a choice between having su'dash lishit and malava malka. We're going to opt for su'dash lishit. And that's why they say to move the meal from Motzei Shabbat onto Shabbat. So leima rabbonin hi velo Rabbi Chidka. Let's say this is the rabbonin and not Rabbi Chidka. You're only giving him 3 meals on Shabbat, not 4 meals. So Sefot mentions over here the reason that the Gemara does not use the shita of Rabbi Akiva to answer the question here of Aseh Shabbat Chachol, bi'al titzarech lebriol, because Rabbi Akiva's statement is made in a context where the person is trying to avoid taking from tzedakah. So in the instance where a person is trying to avoid from taking from tzedakah, then we'll say, Aseh Shabbat Chachov, Al Titzarech Lebriot. In the question that's being posed over here, he has to take from tzedakah anyway. We're going to provide the meals for him. Just a question of how many meals we're going to provide for him. So better then to get him the proper Shabbat meals and not say, Aseh Shabbat Chol, Ve'al Titzarech Lebriot.
Mar says, no, the old Amr Chidka, going to Ika Suda Ba'adei, came with 1 meal with him. He was carrying a meal. He shows up in town. He's a traveler. He's a wayfarer.
It's not that he's necessarily destitute or poor, but he's a traveler, and a traveler doesn't have food with him. Doesn't have the ability. So he has one meal that he brought with him. Now they give him an additional three meals. Eat the one that you have with you. Then the Gemara says, okay, that's great. But he's going to eat the meal that he brought, and the three meals you gave him to get the four on Shabbat. Now he's going to pack out after Shabbat, and he's going to have nothing to eat. He's got nothing to go on his way. We give him a meal to take with him on the way out. Now, the original, what was the Havamina that they would do this? The Tosafot discusses a little bit what the Havamina was, which is, came in on Shabbat, we assumed that he's not going to leave on Motzei Shabbat. Nobody traveled at night in their day because there was no light. When it came to Motzei Shabbat, we assumed he wasn't going to leave that day. He wouldn't leave till Sunday morning. So if he's not going to leave till Sunday morning, we're not going to worry about giving him on Erev Shabbat the meal he needs to leave on Sunday morning. So we'll give him enough meals to get through Shabbat. And then on Sunday morning, we'll deal with packing him out and giving him a meal to go on the road. So the Gemara says, in the end, that's right, because the Mablina used to do Abaday, that on Sunday morning, they're going to give him a meal to take with him on the road. It's not counted in the meals that he gets beforehand. My Parnasat Lina, what does it mean that you give him till night, stay in the hotel or motel, whatever you give him money for? The Gemara says, Amara Papa Puriya, Beisajo. Give him a bed and a pillow. It's a bed and a pillow, that's what he's entitled to in terms of lodging for the night. Alright, so next, Tanrabanan. Karot shachal ben arvit, madichan lechol ben shachrit. Dishes that you used to eat at nighttime on Friday night, you wash them so you can eat with them in the morning. Shacharit, in the morning, madichan lechol ben bitzoharayim. In the morning you can wash them down so you can eat in the afternoon. Bitzoharayim, dichan lechol ben mincha. In the afternoon you can wash them so you can eat at mincha time. Min mincha veilech shubenu mediach. From mincha onwards, you can't wash them anymore. Aval, kosot vikaitoniyot vitzlochiyot mediach valech kol hayom kulo. With regards to cups, goblets, ladles, and pitchers, there you can wash them all day long. Fishin kevalishtia. Drinking, it does not have a fixed time. Meals have a fixed time. Once you finish the meal, you're not going to sit down to another meal. You know that already. So you may not wash. As long as there's time left in the day where you could eat a meal, then we say to you, go ahead and wash the dishes because then they may be prepared for you. In terms of drinking, we say there's no fixed time for drinking, and therefore it's permissible to wash these all the way through the end, towards the end of Shabbat. Because as long as you can still drink, then it's possible that you would utilize them on Shabbat, and the washing will be for the purpose of Shabbat, not for Chol. So that's a big difference between Achila and Shtia. It's an important halacha comes out of this. Tosafot notes a very important halacha that comes out of that with regards to fast days. There is a principle when it comes to a fast day that when a person on the night before a fast day, we're talking about a daytime fast, not a 24-hour fast, that once a person goes to sleep at night, the assumption is that he's begun the fast when he goes to sleep because he's mesiach dat from eating. And he knows when he wakes up, he's going to wake up already in the fast. So when he goes to sleep, it's a quasi-acceptance of the fast. And that means that even if a person woke up in the middle of the night and suddenly wanted to eat, he would not be permitted to eat because he's already been mekabel the ta'anit. One has to state or express a t'nai before they go to sleep to say that I will not begin the fast when I go to sleep because if I get up, I want to eat. Or if I'm planning to get up, I'm going to eat. You know, you could do it in your mind. It's better to express it and state explicitly. So that is a halacha with regards to ta'anit. Now, when does that happen? So we today base it on sleep. Once you go to sleep, we assume you've stopped eating, you've stopped drinking, and that's the koveya. Tosafot speaks about the fact that when you eat a meal, nighttime meal, after you eat the meal, they didn't eat afterwards. That was the end of your eating. So he says that the kabbalat ta'anit really happens after one has eaten the final meal on the nighttime. After that, you don't get up for midnight snacks, you don't get up for little things out of the refrigerator. They ate a meal, that was it, they were done. So that means that the tanit starts. Tosafot says it's only true for achila, not true for shtiyah. From our Gemara. By achila kovin suda, then you are koveya makom to eat. Shtiyah has no kviyut. If there has no kviyut, you can't say that just because I ate the last meal now that I'm a kabbal tanit der gabe shtiyah. So Tosafot bifurcates here, separates the din and says, in terms of eating, when you've had your last meal on the night before the tanit, you can't eat afterwards. It's an acceptance of the tanit unless you state explicitly otherwise. But with regards to the shtiyah, you do not need that night. As long as you're still awake, then people drink because there is no kviyut for drinking. And therefore, you could drink. That might be true today even by going to sleep sometimes. If a person wakes up during the night and usually drinks, and that is a normal part, a normal course of their night activity, they may not need to make a tanai because there's no kviyut for that shtiyah. The person doesn't normally get up.
decision.
Correct. So today, it would not be governed by dinner, it would be governed by sleep. We eat after we have our meals, we snack afterwards, we have a little extra dessert. In terms of meals, you're right. But in terms of sleeping, then for us, the kviyut might be different. Again, you might have to differentiate between achila and shtiya. It also differentiates it based on this gemara here. I'm Rabbi Shimon Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kabara. Kol ha-mikayim shalosh seudot b'shabbat, nitzol mishlosh pranyot. Anybody who eats three seudot on Shabbat is saved from these three difficulties. Mechevlo shel Mashiach, from the birthing pains of Mashiach. Medina shel Geinom, from the punishment of Geinom. Umi mechemet Gog u'Magog, in the battle, the final battle of Gog u'Magog. Mechevlo shel Mashiach tiv hocha yom. Uchtiv hotam, here it's written yom, by the Shabbat. Uchtiv hotam, hinei anochi shalech lechemet Eliyahu ha-Navid lifnei bo yom. So that's talking about the great day, the day of the Mevaser, that Mashiach's going to come. The day that we're going to find out that the redemption is beginning. So over there it uses the term yom, and also over here to describe the shlosh tzudot, it uses the term yom. So the Gemara sees a parallel between them. Yom evra hayom hahu. That day is a day of anger. That day referring to the day of judgment, the day of Gehinom. Here it also uses the term yom. So mechemet Gog u'Magog, k'tiv hacha yom. Again, over here it writes yom. K'tiv hatam b'yom ba'gog. And the day that Gog comes, again, to the term of the usage of bayom. So the term yom is used in all three of these scenarios. And since the word yom is used in all three scenarios, as well as the yom that is mentioned here, we had three yoms that give us the shlosh seudot of Shabbat. The Gemara sees these as being parallel. The three seudot come and they offset or mitigate the difficulties that arise from these three areas. I'm Rabbi Yochan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Kol Ma'aneg et Shabbat, Notnim Lo Nachala B'li Mitzarim. Anybody who does the proper Tanug Shabbat, means that he makes things special, he has extra enjoyment on the Shabbat, then they get a nachalab li mitzarim. They get an inheritance without any boundaries. Shenemar, az tit anag al Hashem, virka ticha al bamate baretz, v'achal ticha nachalat Yaakov. Az tit anag, this is Sukkim in Yishayahu, that deal with Shmirat HaShabbat. And over there it says, az tit anag al Hashem, that you're going to have the oneg that is associated with the Shabbat. And then it says, what's the v'achal ticha al bamate baretz, I'll place you on the high lands, v'achal ticha nachalat Yaakov avicha, pi Hashem diber. So that you will get the nachlat of Yaakov. What's so important? Why you get the nachlat of Yaakov as opposed to the nachlat of Yitzchak and Avraham? So loki Avraham shekatuv bo, not like the nachlat of Avraham, it says, kum italech v'aretz lo arko l'rachubo. As Hashem says, go walk the land, and that's what you're going to inherit. But loki Yitzchak shekatuv bo, kilechal z'rachat tenetol aretz, so ha'el, I'll give you these lands. Again, something that is finite. That you will burst forth, you expand to the west, the east, the north, and the south. And it's something that doesn't have boundaries, something that doesn't have limitations, and that's the same reward for those that are aneged to Shabbat. Nachman bar Yitzchak amar nitzol mishibud galiot. The person is saved from shibud galiot. And it says in the end of Sefer Dvarim, so that is, you ride up high, meaning on the high plains with Hashem, and therefore the word of Shabbat is that b'mateyaretz is equivalent to the b'mateyaretz tidroch, that Bnei Yisrael will be ascendant at that time. So you'll be a part of those that are ascended, not those that are part of the Shibud Galuyot. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, call him Aneg et HaShabbat, Notnim Lo Mish'alot Libo. Anybody who has the proper Oneg Shabbat is given all of his desires, his requests. Shneamar, V'it Anag Al Hashem, V'iten Lecha Mish'alot Libcha. If you are Me'aneg in Hashem, then you will get all of your requests. Oneg Zeh and Yodea Mahu. So what is Oneg Shabbat? Define for me, please, what Oneg Shabbat is. Shomer v'karato the Shabbat Oneg. When it says there in the Psukim in Yishayahu that you call the Shabbat Oneg, Avi Omer, Zeh Oneg Shabbat. That's called Oneg Shabbat. But me ma'ango, what do you do to make it Oneg Shabbat? Yehuda Breder of Shmuel bar Shilat Mishmei Derav Amar B'Tavshil Shel Tradim V'Dagim Dolim V'Roshei Shumim. These are all considered to be what we call Machal Chashuv. It's an important, a significant dish for the meal. So B'Tavshil Shel Tradim is either a beet dish or a spinach dish. V'Dagim Dolim and large fish and Roshei Shumim, the heads of garlic. All of these were considered to be significant dishes. Something that was done specifically for, or particularly for, the Kvod HaShabbat, or for the Oneg HaShabbat here. B'chir Barashi Amar, afilu davar mu'at v'lechvod Shabbat. So, even if it's a small item, and you did it specifically for Shabbat, harizei Oneg. That's even considered to be Oneg. Mahi? What is that? Amra Papa, karsid harsana. A cup of fish hash. Something small dish, but if you do it specifically for Shabbat, that is considered to be significant, and Oneg Shabbat. There's a distinction that's drawn, very famous distinction that's drawn by Reb Chaim with regards to the Rambam. What's the difference between Kavod Shabbat and Oneg Shabbat? And the distinction that he draws there is that Kavod Shabbat are things that are done prior to the Shabbat in preparation for the Shabbat. Oneg Shabbat are things on Shabbat that are done to enhance the Shabbat. What you see here from this Gemara, as well as from the Rambam himself, where he said this, that it's not so simple, and that it's not so straightforward. That distinction is not such a fine line between Kavod Shabbat and Oneg Shabbat. And that is for the examples here that the Gemara he gives, is that if you are preparing a Karsad Arsana for Shabbat, that's considered to be Oneg Shabbat, even though the preparation will clearly be undone prior to Shabbat. Now you could argue here in this Gemara that this Gemara is only talking about the eating of these dishes on Shabbat. That could be a fair argument. But once you get to the Rambam is clear when he quotes these Gemaras. He does not quote you eating them, but rather preparing them. And he says when you're preparing them, that is Oneg Shabbat. And so probably a better definition or separation between Kavod and Oneg would be that things that are done for pleasure on Shabbat, then the preparation of them is called Oneg Shabbat. If you prepare a dish that will enhance the pleasure on Shabbat, that is a part of your Oneg Shabbat, even if you're doing it on Tuesday. The Rambam first thing quotes that one may not get on a boat on Thursday. One may not lay siege to a city on Thursday because it ruins your Oneg Shabbat. One must prepare ahead of time. They must get on the boat on Wednesday. They must start the siege on Wednesday so their mind will be settled by the time Shabbat comes to be Oneg Shabbat. So the preparation that is done in anticipation of the pleasures of Shabbat, that is called Oneg Shabbat. Something that's Kavod Shabbat is something that's simply done as an enhancement of the Shabbat preparations for the Shabbat. If someone puts out beautiful dishes coming into the Shabbat, that's a Kavod Shabbat. He makes the beds, cleans the house, does preparations, washes themselves, puts on the clothing, special clothing for Shabbat. That's all the Kavod Shabbat. That's all done in anticipation of the Shabbat. But not necessarily to give Oneg Shabbat, not necessarily to have pleasure on Shabbat. Anything that is either pleasure on Shabbat or done to give pleasure on Shabbat, that's called Oneg, and that would give a better definition here also to these items that are mentioned in the Gemara, that here they're preparing foods that are going to be eaten on Shabbat. That preparation of the foods is also a part of Oneg Shabbat, because you're preparing delicacies that you're going to enjoy on the Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-mishmer Shabbat kehilchoto. Anybody keeps Shabbat properly, afilu oveda avodah zarah kedor enosh, mochalim lo. Even if they worshipped avodah zarah like the door of Enosh, they would forgive him. The reason they picked door Enosh is because they're the first to supposedly worship avodah zarah. Shneimar, because pasuk says, Ashrei Enosh yasezot. Praise be with the one who does this. Shomer Shabbat michalalo. Who keeps the Shabbat from profaning it. That's what the word that is used there. Shomer Shabbat michalalo. Al tikra michalalo ele machulo. Don't read it as michalalo, meaning the one who does not profane it, but rather the one who is forgiven. And that is Ashrei Enosh. The play on Enosh being that Enosh was azuchal likro b'shem Hashem, that they're the first ones to worship avodah zarah. The pasuk is saying that even Enosh, who was an Ovid of Ezra, if he keeps the Shabbat, machulo, it will be forgiven for him. Am Rav Yehuda Merav, Yimalei Shamru Yisrael Shabbat Rishona, Lo Shalta Ben, Umav V'Lashon. Had Bnei Yisrael just kept their first Shabbat, then no nation would have had power over them. Shneamar, V'hi B'yom HaShvi'i Yatzu Min Am L'Lukot. That as soon as they get the Shabbat by the man, it says that on the seventh day, the people went out to collect the man. The Vatrei, and what's the next Parsha after Parshat Aman in Parshat B'Shalach, where we just read this past Shabbat, is V'yovo Amalek. Amalek attacks. So you see that the attack of Amalek is associated with the lack of emunah that they shouldn't go out on Shabbat to collect. There are a number of problems with this. First of which is that's just not true. There is that one other parsha that sits between Amalek and the man, and that is the parsha of Masel Meriva, the parsha of the water that sits in between them. That's number one. Number two is, Tosafot already raises this issue back on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Bet. The top Tosafot over there mentioned this, that the Gemara in Sanhedrin and other places notes that Bnei Israel got the mitzvah of Shabbat in Mara. In Mara, he calculates at least two or three Shabbatot before they got it in Bishalach. And if that's the case, they had many opportunities to keep Shabbatot. This wasn't the first Shabbat that they had. They had other Shabbatot before this. And so therefore, they did not violate the Shabbat or violate their first Shabbat. Tosafot takes issue with this, and it's not so clear that this was the Shabbat Rishona. Nevertheless, the Gemara associates the two and says that Shmirat HaShabbat by Bnei Israel protects them from their enemies and would have made them so ascendant that nobody would have the ability to attack them. This is the more famous of these Agadotot, probably the most famous of these Agadotot. Bnei Israel keep two Shabbatot in a row, they would be immediately redeemed. Shneamar, So Shabtotai in plural. Shabbatot Shali. Uchti Batrei V'Aviyotim El Har Kodshi. And right afterwards it says, I'm going to bring them up to my holy mountain, meaning the redemption will begin. So the Shabtotai, the minimum of a plural is two. So two Shabbatot will bring about V'Aviyotim El Har Kodshi. The question is, why do you need two Shabbatot? What's wrong with one Shabbat? So I saw many years ago, that's many, many years ago, in the Kitzer Hilchot Shabbat, when he brings down his introduction, he quotes this Agarit and asks, why is it the case that this Agarit is true? It's quoted in the name of Rav Tzadok as well as the Sfat Emet. He says that the nature of Shabbat is that Shabbat has a duality to it. It's influenced by the days that lead into Shabbat. The 6 days of creation lead into Shabbat and they influence the Shabbat. The Shabbat also is mashpia on the week afterwards. Whatever the Shabbat itself has overflows. The whole idea of the Shabbat overflowing into the succeeding week, the week after the Shabbat. Then you need, in order to get a proper Shabbat, to keep a proper Shabbat, you first need to have another Shabbat before it. Because in that way, the weekdays that lead into this Shabbat will have had the proper influence from the previous Shabbat. So the previous Shabbat is kept, it influences the subsequent week. That week then is the lead-in to the second Shabbat that you have. So in order to get a proper second Shabbat, you actually need a Shabbat beforehand so that the weekdays that lead into it are the proper weekdays leading in to get you the properly enhanced Shabbat, which is the second Shabbat. Very nice idea, effect that Shabbat has on our lives, both in our preparations and leading into Shabbat, but also the spillover from Shabbat into the subsequent week. Gemara now brings, you should just know that this daf is chock full of sugyot, unbelievable shas sugyot that we dealt with here. We're going to run through. I'll try to do one more sugya with you, but it's chock full. Here comes another one of them, which is Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is going to have a number of statements here, and these statements have huge, broad implications in terms of halacha and in terms of broader sugyot, which is Amar Rabbi Yossi, Hey Chelkim Ochlei Shalosh Sudot B'Shabbat. I should be amongst those. My reward should be amongst those that eat three sudot on Shabbat. So now, what's interesting here is that the remainder of what's brought here seem to be midot chasidut that Rabbi Yossi did, and that would imply here that the statement of Rabbi Yossi is yei chelkim ochlei shlosh sudot b'Shabbat is something that is considered to be a midat chasidut, and that's hard to say because we just saw in the Gemara beforehand that shlosh sudot is based on a pasuk in the Torah. There are many that believe that the din of shlosh sudot is a din deoraita. It's a din min haTorah, based on the fact that Gemara brings it as a limud from the pasuk. So if it's a din d'oraita, why would he say, Yehei Chelki, let my portion be amongst those portions? Obviously, he does want to be amongst those portions, but it's still strange, because the remainder of the statement seemed to be midot chasidut that Rabbi Yossi did, and not ikar halocha that he did. I just leave that as a note, in terms of Rabbi Yossi's statement over here. Then Rabbi Yossi, Hey Chelki, mi gomrei halel b'chol yom. I should be amongst those that finish the halel on every day. One says, Hinei, v'amamar. Anybody reads the Halel every day, it's as if he is blaspheming, cursing. As Rashi notes here, you dilute the value of Halel. If Halel is for specific and special occasions, if one reads it every single day, then you've diluted its effect. The same thing that comes up in Shul, when they say a Mizmor Tehillim, because the situation is difficult. If one says a Mizmor Tehillim every day because of a difficult situation, then the Mizmor Tehillim takes on a type of shigra. It's like a routine where it's no longer significant because you've made it permanent. And when you make it permanent, it loses its significance. And the same thing with Hallel. Hallel is special because we only say Hallel on particular days. That makes it unique. If you say Hallel every day, it no longer has any uniqueness. And therefore, you're diluting the effect of Hallel by saying it every day. Now, this happens to be one of the mikorot for not adding on Hallel for special days, like if those that want to say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, this might be the Mekor, according to some, not to say it because you're not allowed to just say Hallel any day. The offsetting Gemara, and this is why I'm not going to do the topic here, is really in Psachim. Gemara in Psachim, I think on Kuf Yud Zayin, Kuf Yud Chet, in Psachim, mentions the fact that there are certain days where Bnei Yisrael read the Hallel, the Nevi'im, and Studed Hallel, and they also read it for any day where there was salvation. Anytime there was a salvation, anytime that Bnei Yisrael was saved, then they should say Hallel. And there the Gemara seems to leave it much more open that you can say Hallel even on other days of the year, as long as, like the Gemara says here, you don't say it every day. It's not a question of you can't add any days of Hallel, it's just a question of you can't make it into a permanent structure of davening. So then how could Rabbi Yossi over here suggest that he wanted to be amongst those that finish Hallel every day? I meant it about Psukei de Zimra, and that is important also to note that Psukei de Zimra is, according to the Gemara and Brachot as well, only a midat chasidut. The Psukei de Zimra is not a permanent fixture in davening, but rather a midat chasidut. The Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah mentions that same carbonot every morning is a din de oraita over neshama parim sfarteinu. Based on that, Schechter notes it, wrote it in a note in an article they wrote back in the 80s. He thinks, based on this Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, that it would be better to say carbonot than Psukei de Zimra. One of them is a din d'oraita to say karbonot, and same Psukei de Zimra is only a midat chasidut, even though that the minhag ha'olam is to skip karbonot and say Psukei Zimra. Amram Yosi, Yechel Kimi Mitpalim in Dum Dumei Achamash. You mean amongst those that daven with the rays of the sun. Now the rays of the sun are in both directions. That's with sunrise and sunset. So he's to daven Vatikin in the morning along with the rising sun, as well as at sunset, right before sunset. Davening mincha at the time of sunset, the Gemara in Brachot brings that Shmuel cursed anybody who daven bidum dumei chama because it's very risky. Davening right next to shkia, mincha time is risky. If anything goes wrong, then you miss mincha. So he gave preference not to doing that. Nevertheless, we see that Rabbi Yossi wants to be amongst those that daven with the dumei chama. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avraham, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvah leis balav bidum dumei chama. There is an enhanced mitzvah of davening with the rays of the sun, meaning at sunrise and sunset. And I'm Rabbi Zera, my crowd. What is the pasuk? The same pasuk that they quote in Gemara Brachot as well. Is Yirauha im Shemesh, Lifnei Yareach Dor Dorim. That I should hear you Shemesh with the sun, and before the moon, Dor Dorim. Do you see that at the beginning of the moon and the beginning of the sun time? That's the time that you're going to daven. One is Shacharit and one is Mincha. Rabbi Yossi Echelki, mi meite bicholim me'ayim. I should be amongst those that die from stomach ailments. Damar Mar, Ruban shel tzedekim meitim bicholim me'ayim. Most of the tzaddikim die because of stomach ailments. Rashi says, "Lemareik avinoteim." It's not that it's a peaceful death; it's a death that's full of yisurim. But those yisurim will cleanse out all their avonot. Tosafot does not like that, but he says the real omer that the reason that he wants to die from the stomach ailment is lemareik achilam mina meayim. The old nikiim v'torim kemalchei asheret, that their digestive system should be cleaned out, totally flushed out, so that they should be like malachei asheret when they die. That is interesting because of the Minhag Eretz Yisrael with regards to Tarot. In Chutz La'aretz they don't necessarily do this, but in Eretz Yisrael they do this, which is in the Tarot that not only do they mitar the body on the outside, but they only flush the digestive system out, that they clean out by forcing water through the body, they clean out the entire digestive system, which is like this Midrash that is quoted by the Tosafot that says that in order to be like Malachi Asheret, that he wanted to die from Choli Me'ayim so that his digestive system will be totally clean. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Yehei chelki imachnisei Shabbat b'tiberia umimotzei Shabbat b'tzibori. I should be amongst those that start Shabbat in Tiberia. Tiberia is found in the valley. Tiberia is found down adjacent to Yam Kineret. And I should be amongst those that let Shabbat go out in Tzipori. Those that let Shabbat go out in Tzipori, which is up in the mountains, high up on the top of a mountain. This is interesting because simple way to read this is that he wanted to bring in Shabbat early and have Shabbat go out late. So how do you bring in Shabbat early? You start Shabbat in the valley, because the sun disappears behind the mountains earlier when you're in the valley, and therefore your Shabbat would start earlier. You go on top of the mountain, it takes longer for the sun to set when you're up on the mountain, because you're higher up. You can have a better angle at the sun, it'll take longer for the sun to set for you when you're higher on the mountain. Based on that, you would suggest that this Gemara says that when you want to determine when Netzach Hama is, and you want to determine when Shkia is, it's based on what you can see. From the location that you're at, where you can see, that is the determination of what Shkia is, based on your actual experience in that location. And that would be what we call Netza Nira'ah, Shkia, based on the Nira'ah. Turns out that most of the poskim don't agree with that. Most of the poskim believe that we set the Shkia and the sunrise based on the nearest location where you would be on the top of a mountain, the highest point in this area. You set it based on that, and not based on where you can see. What do they do with this Gemara? Well, they say, no problem, we can deal with this Gemara. First of all, it says here, Rabbi Yossi is giving all these items that are Midat Chasidut. It's a Midat Chasidut. He did this as a Midat Chasidut. It wasn't real. It was a fiction. And that's somewhat of what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, that Machnisei Shabbat B'tveri Amipneshi Amuka, it's deep, it's in the valley, Umechashechet Mibeod Yom, and it gets dark when it's daytime, Visuvurim Shechashcha. And they think it got dark. Rashi's not saying that it's literally dark or that it's really nightfall. It just says that they think it's nightfall. So that it's an illusion that happens for those people that live in Tiberia that the night starts earlier. But not that that's a halachic night. That's just they practice it that way because that's what they see. And so again, that would seem to indicate that it was simply a mistaken judgment, or I mean that chasidut that they did this. And so that would support that position. The other way to learn it is, Rabbi Kiva Eger over here brings the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachot, explains this differently. And the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachot says, they used to prepare their clothing on Erev Shabbat, and they used to put the incense into the clothing on Erev Shabbat, deodorize the clothing. And in Tzipor, they used to do that on Motzei Shabbat because of the Neshama Yetera that left. So they used to want to put nice aromas, deodorant in their clothing, so that would take away the loss of the Neshama Yetera. And therefore, he says, Yechei from both, I want to be in Tveri on Erev Shabbat, and I want to be in Tzipori on Motzei Shabbat. Meaning, I want to do the Kavod Shabbat on Erev Shabbat, like those people of Tveria, and I want to do the Malav Malka. I want to accompany out the Shabbat like they do it in Tzipori. And that's what the statement was about, not about the sunset in both places being taking in Shabbat early and letting it go out late, even though Rashi does seem to interpret that. And that's a good midat chasidut, a reminder that there is no need to rush out the Shabbat. The Shabbat does not have to end exactly at the moment that it goes out, that there is a value in extending the Shabbat beyond that exact minute when Shabbat is over. All right, then Vamar Rabbi Yossi, Yehei, Chelki, mi moshivei beit ha-midrash, velo mi ma'amidei beit ha-midrash. The way Rashi reads it is, Yehei, Chelki, mi moshivei beit ha-midrash. I should be amongst the one that calls the students into the Beit Midrash to learn. I should be the one who ensures that students are in attendance for the learning, not one who gives the ring and says it's time to eat. So the one person's job was to bring everybody to the Beit Midrash to learn. There's another job is to tell people it's time to eat. So let me be the one who is honored with the position of bringing people to the Beit Midrash rather than the one who is honored with the position of telling when it's time to eat. You could argue, although mi moshivei would be a little harder to interpret this way, let me be amongst those that sit in the Beit Midrash, and not amongst those that support the Beit Midrash. That could be another possible way to read it, although the word Moshivei seems to be that one who seats others, rather than they themselves sitting. I should be amongst those that collect for tzedakah, but not distribute tzedakah. Rashi notes over here, because that people have emotional responses to giving out tzedakah, and they don't do it in a detached manner. They don't distribute the tzedakah properly because of the emotions that get involved. They are now taking money, distributing it. They are obligated by the tzibur to act on their behalf as proxies for the tzibur. And they have to do it in a manner that's proper, appropriate for those that need to receive it. That's a much harder job. That's much more difficult. So he says, I'd rather be one that collects the tzedakah, goes around and collects the tzedakah, than the one who has to distribute the tzedakah. Same is true for individuals that have the ability to give tzedakah, that Hashem gives them the money to distribute, that a person has to make the effort also to be a mechalkei tzedakah, to ensure that the tzedakah is distributed. Hashem gives them a pikadon of that extra money in order to distribute it to tzedakah, then you become one of the mechalkei tzedakah, those that distribute tzedakah, and one has to ensure that the tzedakah is given out in a proper manner. I should be amongst those that people suspect that there's something wrong with them, and there is nothing. But Baba said, that's exactly what happened to me. They were choshed that I did something wrong, and it wasn't there. So I'm Rabbi Yossi, chamesh bi'ilot ba'alti. Rabbi Yossi says, 5 times that I had intercourse, natati chamisha arazim bi'Israel. And I gave birth to 5 cedar trees amongst Israel. Omani nun, who are they? Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar Eliezer b'Rabbi Yossi, b'Rabbi Chalafta b'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilus b'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Yossi, Haiga Vardimas. It's an interesting name. All the other names seem to be pretty straightforward names. And also you have this name, Vardimas. Sounds like a Greek name. So Gemara says, Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. Menachem and Vardimas are the same name. His is Hebrew name and his Greek name. His face was like a rose. So not necessarily that it was his Jewish name and his secular name, but it was his nickname that he was called Vardimas. The memra to Rabbi Yossi mitzvah on aloki, eh? Wait a minute. Rabbi Yossi only was his wife 5 times. He didn't keep the mitzvah of ona. He's obligated to provide his wife with biyah, and he didn't do that. I had biyah 5 times where I repeated it. And we saw this Gemara in Nida. The Gemara believes that a person is Boel Bishoneh, that is Yoleid Zacharim, Banim Zacharim. Here he says, Boleid Vishaniti, those 5 times, and I gave birth to these 5 cedars, these 5 boys, that were Talmidei Chachamim. Tosafot mentions, Ubishalmi, that in Yerushalmi, that Shani Debi Yavamot Hayu. He had 5 Giyot of Yavamot, Valorat Salikayim Behem Mitzvah Tonah. He didn't want to have mitzvah donah, el rak de lekayim mitzvah yibum. He only wanted the mitzvah of yibum, which was bi'ah rishona. So the five below there were the five yivamot. Now, that's not such a simple thing. Number one is because that means that five of his brothers passed away without having children in order to have five yivamot. That's one thing. And number two is, usually when you have a child born to the yivama, it's nikra al-shem achiv. It's called by the name of the brother, not by the person who gave birth to them's name. So that would also be difficult over here. Again, the Bavli gives a different answer, as we saw here, of Baliti Vishaniti. Amar Rabbi Yosef, meaning, Amai lo kariti li shti shti. Never called my wife, ulu shari shari, and my ox, Ella, li shti beiti. Call my wife, my house, ulu shari sadi, and I called my shore, my field. In that he realized the significance of the individual. The Isha is the akarat habayit. So she's not just the wife, she is the foundation of the house. So you don't just call her Ishti, you call her Beiti. She is the house. She is what makes the house. She is what makes the household. Same thing with the ox. The field without the ox. The ox is what plows the field. The ox is what helps you work the field. The ox is integral to the success of the field. And therefore, he assigned the rewards of the field to the ox itself. It's an important Musar Haskell in terms of acknowledging how people contribute, making people understand what they do has impact. And not just that they are wife. This, that, just a simple thing, but much that they have much broader implications. I'm Rabbi Yosef, I never looked at my Brit Milah. Hini, is that really true? I'm really the Rabbi, my time of Kavalach Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why were you called Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Why were you called the Holy One? I never looked at my Milah. Well, if that's the case, Rabbi Yosef should also have been called Rabbi Yosef HaKadosh. So Rabbi Milta Achritavabe, the Gemara says, no, Rabbi had something else. Not just the fact that he didn't look at his Milah, but his hand never went below his loins, below his belt. So not only did he not ever look at his milah, his hand never went below his belt level. And Rabbi Yossi only had one of those two, which is that he never looked at his milah. My house never saw the seams of my beged. Now that would mean that he never turned his beged inside out when he took it off. Rashi over here explains, and this is somewhat along the lines of the brachot that are established for Birkat HaShachar are established in this way, which is when a person got up in the morning, they did not just come out of their bed, that they used to basically sleep naked in their bed. That was their pajamas, that was their night clothing. And when they got up in the morning, they used to pull their chaluk over them, their tunic over them. And as they exited the blankets, the sheets from the bed, their clothing would fall onto them. And therefore, they would never be naked or exposed. And the same would be true the other way around. When they were getting into bed, they would enter into bed first, and then pulled the clothing over their head as they went under the sheets. And based on that, they would always be dressed, they would never be naked. So I think that's the point Rashi points out that he's making over here, not that he never had his clothing inside out, inside of his house. I never violated instructions or the words of my friends. I know that I'm not a kohen. If my friends said to me, go up to the dukhan, be a kohen, I would go. I would never violate that. That's what right away says. Lo yadari ma isur yesh bazeh. What isur is there? Bazar ho le duchan. Non kohen that goes up to the duchan. What is he doing wrong? Imlo mishum bracha levatala shel kohanim. Only because of the bracha vatala that the kohanim are supposed to give the bracha to Israel. I think he's referring to here the bracha of the varechet amo Yisrael bi'avat. Bracha the kohanim make beforehand. Maybe that's the only problem over here is bracha de valatala. Not sure what statement Rabbi Yossi is making, that if his friends told him to go up to be a kohen, that he'd be a kohen. He's not really violating any isur. It's not like he's doing something exceptional. Could have done that even if his friends didn't tell him that. There's no isur in doing that. I think the point that he's making is that even though he's not a kohen, if they told him he is a kohen, he would just act like a kohen. I think that's the point that Rabbi Yossi is making over here. Rabbi Yossi, Mimailo Amarti Davar V'chazarti L'Achurai. Rabbi Yossi says, I never said anything and retracted it. So Rashi says, Shim ba mi, Shamarti Alav Davar. If someone comes and says, you said this about me, Shami Amarti La Kain, I said, yes, I did say it about you. I never lied and said I didn't say it. If I said it, I meant it. And then if the person came and asked me, I would tell him that I did say this. And Rashi says, because he believes, anything that he would say in front of the person themselves is not Lashon Hara. Since you'd be willing to say it directly face to face to the person, when you say it to someone else, it's not classified as Lashon Hara, according to this. That is a very, very broad definition and big dispensation that not necessarily La Halacha. But Rashi over here says that he was l'shitato, that if he's willing to say something in front of the person themselves, he would say it not in front of them. That's why if they showed up and asked him if he said it, he would say, yeah, I did say it, because he was not embarrassed, he was not going to retract what he said.
Amar Rav Nachman, Tateli, the guy made Gimel Sudot b'Shabbat. Give it to me that I kept three Sudot on Shabbat. Now again, this is interesting because the Tateli's in general is I should get reward. It's usually for Amidat Chasidut. But here you have to interpret it to mean that this was my mitzvah. I always did this mitzvah and I did it properly. I always kept Shalosh Sudot on Shabbat. And that's my mitzvah and I want the reward for doing that mitzvah properly. Amar Rav Yehuda, Tateli, the guy made Iyun Tfilah. I should be rewarded for keeping Iyun Tfilah. This is a problem. Tosafot raises it over here. We saw this again in Brachot as well. The Gemara in different places seems to indicate that sometimes Iyun Tfilah is negative, and sometimes Iyun Tfilah is positive. Gemara says, El Dorim Shadam Ochol Berdem Olam Azeh, Mekaren Kayimad Olam Abba, one of those things is Iyun Tfilah. So over there, it's written in the positive. Yet, where we have in Gemara in Brachot, Hamayin B'Tfilato, Sof L'Adiei Kevev. Someone who's Mayin in Tfilah, has Iyun Tfilah, ends up with a heartache afterwards. And the Gemara in Baba Atra says, Shlosha Dvarim Ein Adam Nitzol Mehem B'Chol Yom. There are three sins that a person is not saved from each day. That's Lashon Hara, Yirah Aveira, and Yiyun Tefillah. So there you have two statements in the Gemara of negative about Yiyun Tefillah, and two positive statements about Yiyun Tefillah. Tosafot reconciles them and says there's a difference. One is talking about Kavanat Alev. Having Kavanah and Tefillah, that Yiyun Tefillah is positive. That's what the Gemara is talking about over here. Yiyun Tefillah is Kavanah. That's what the Gemara is talking about in Elu Dvarim, Shadam Ruchel Perodem Alam Azeh, Vekirin Kaim Elam Abba, which is Yiyun Tefillah. And the negative ones, which are Yiyun Tefillah, brings to heartache, is talking about a case where Yoshev Umitzapeh. Iyun Tefillah there is that he's not Iyun in the Tefillah, he's Miayin when the Tefillah will come true. He davens for something of Hashem, and then he anticipates, sits and anticipates, when's God going to answer my Tefillah? So that's a negative Iyun Tefillah. And the Gemara in Baba Batra that says these are sins that people aren't saved from each day, is really, Iyun Tefillah there is not in the positive form, but in the negative form. That's, you're supposed to have Kavanah, but you're not. People daven without Kavanah. So it's a negative formulation of the positive, which is Yun Tefillah, which is Kavanat HaLev. Tell us what over here says, that's proper Yun Tefillah, which is Kavanat HaLev. Improper Yun Tefillah is when you wait and anticipate when will God answer your Tefillot. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yevshuta, Tateli Delo Sagina, Dalet Amot, Begilui Rosh. Give it to me, I shall be rewarded for the fact that I never walked for Amot with my head uncovered. Amar Rav Sheshe, Tateli Dekeim Mitzvah Tefillin. I should be rewarded because I kept Tefillin. Amar Rav Nachman, Tateli Dekeim Mitzvah Tzitzit, that I kept the Mitzvah Tzitzit. Now it's clear here that Mitzvah Tefillin and Tzitzit, that's not that they did the Mitzvah, but rather they never walked Dalet Amot without Tzitzit and Tefillin on. That's an example by the story here. Amar Le Rav Yosef, the Yosef Berei, the Rabba, Avuch, but my Zayir Tzvei, what is your father very careful about? They're asking Rav Yosef, the son of Rabba, what is your father very careful about? Amar Le, but Tzitzit. Says he's very careful about Tzitzit. Yom Achad Av Kasolik B'Dargo, he was climbing up a ladder, he's climbing up the stairs. Ifsele Chuta, one of the Tzitzit tore, and therefore he wasn't wearing Tzitzit. V'lunachi V'ata Kamadul Ramyev. He stayed there, he wouldn't move, he wouldn't take a step until they came and he placed those tzitzit and put in a new tzitzit. That's how makpid he was on the midst of tzitzit, and he never walked Dalet Amot without it. Amar Abaye, Tateli, I should be rewarded Chichazina Tzubri Midrabanan, whenever I saw a young whippersnapper, Talmud Chacham, the Shalim Masechtei, that he finished the Masechto, Avinin Yomotov Rabbanan, I used to make a party for him, I used to make a Suda, a Siyum. Now, what we call a Siyum Masechta that I used to make for them. The one thing I just wanted to note here, there are a lot of unbelievable sugyot that are mentioned here. One of them is this idea of not going for a mot, Dalet Amot, without a head covering on. And that deals with what we know as the kippah, wearing something, a head covering on your head. What's interesting is that the Gemara has a number of memrot. One of them is here. Another one is found in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is also Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Yeshua. There, the Gemara says, anybody who walks around with a uncovered head is gasei aruach, someone who's haughty if they don't have their head covered. And there, Rabbi Huna Bar Yehuda makes the same claim over there, which is that I never went out of mode without my head covered. Over there, and over here, it sounds like that is a midat chasidut. It's over here, he's saying that's not what the average person did. It's not something that everybody had to do, but it's a midat chasidut. In addition to that, we have a gemara at the end of the gemara here in Shabbat, on the last apim of gemara Shabbat, that discusses a story about Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, his mother found out from the astrologers that he was born under the mazal of Dam, and because of that, they said he's going to be a thief. So in order to prevent him from being a thief, she used to get his head covered all the time, because she thought it brought to Yirat Hashem. And that Yirat Hashem would prevent him from being a ganav. One time, he was going and the yarmulke fell off. And as soon as his yarmulke fell off, he climbed up a tree and began to eat the fruit from someone else's tree. Which proved the point. That is another idea. Again, that doesn't seem to be midin, but rather midat chasidut. She did it as a preventative measure that to have Yirat Hashem, that he should have his head covered. That is the source for the term yarmulke.
which is Yare Malka, fear of heaven. Also, we have another Gemara in Kiddushin, which is that Rav Chista was praising Rav Huna, the Rav Hamnuna, that he was a great man. And Rav Hamnuna shows up and he doesn't have his head covered. And because of that, Rav Huna says, I won't look at him. I won't even look at him because he doesn't have his head covered. Over there, it says that he wasn't married as well. But it's clear there that he felt that covering one's head was an important aspect of Yirat Hashem. There's one more Gemara in Kiddushin as well, where somebody walked by and didn't have his head covered. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti said about this person, Kamachatzif HaGavra. How machutzif is this person that he doesn't walk in front of the Talmidei Chachamim with his head covered? As well as there's a Gemara in Erechin. It mentioned Bigdei Kehuna are all for Kapara. The Mitznefet is warned for Kapara for Gasei HaRuach, which would indicate again that the covering of one's head is to prevent gasuta ruach, haughtiness, and to have yirat elukim. But from all of these combined, it would only come out that covering one's head is a minhag, and not something that's mi'ikar halacha. The one person who really makes it into ikar halacha is the Taz. The Taz says about the bracha of Oter Yisrael Betif Ara. He says that reference to a head covering, that's mi'ikar adin, that a person must wear a head covering, and that's the bracha of Oter Yisrael B'tif Ara, is built around Jews cover their heads. It's a proper din and not just a minhag cover one's head. So that Taz really upends or changes. Everything is unique in that sense that he says that it's a din or halacha. According to most, it's simply a minhag. Now, but it's a minhag that has been widespread and developed to the point where minhag b'tem b'yadam, that minhag becomes din, and everybody wears a yarmulke, and it would be a breach of Torah Timecha not to wear a yarmulke or not to wear a head covering. The only reason it makes a difference if it's an Ikar Din versus a Minhag is when we have to come up with dispensations where a person can't wear a yarmulke. First Tshuva and Igret Moshe, or Moshe's Tshuva and Igret Moshe discusses exactly this. What happens if a person needs to go to work and they will not be able to get the job or they will not be able to succeed without putting on their yarmulke? Rabbi Moshe talks about the dispensation, possible dispensation for not wearing a yarmulke in order to get a job or to work. He does suggest over there, better to get a job where he can wear his yarmulke. But if not, he does say that there is such a dispensation. So that's something that is important to know in these types of situations, that there are dispensations. But many will tell you that sometimes it's better not to get into the situations where you have to utilize that dispensation, because sometimes it's better to stick out like a Jew and be a Jew, because then you act the part. Then you know that you are different and you have the Yirat Elokim, you have the yarmulke on your head, which differentiates your behavior. Okay, we'll stop over here.